Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of the Love Journey, a Love Experience with Janine in England. Wow. Summer madness. I'm going to play a little step of music up in here today. This is called Step a Little, just in the name and honor of my new show. This is Marian Meadows right here on the Love Journey. Wow. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You tuned in to the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. And that was Marion Meadows. I just wanted to do a little stepping this morning, y'all. A step a little right here on the Mary, right here on the Love Journey, Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. We're going to get ready and turn within. Entering into the present. Recognizing that there was only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that power, this presence, this love that is known by many names, this great spirit that we call God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so right now, I just want you to move from your head into your heart space, honoring the energy of the breath, sending love. And in this circle this morning, this love circle, I'd like for you to speak the name in your mind of someone who might need extra energy or prayer because they may be experiencing something in their breath right now. I just want you to see them perfect, whole, and complete right now. See them perfect, whole, and complete. And as we begin to breathe, I want you to breathe in the perfection of the spirit that lives in us, as us, all around us. Being reminded that there's nothing too hard for our God, who is the master physician. And so as we send love into our own bodies this morning, into every cell and into every muscle fiber, every living system, giving thanks for this body temple that houses the spirit of the living God. And if in this right now moment, I just want you to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. As we take in a deep breath, breathing in through our nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, release the breath, and remember to breathe deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart. You see, the heart has wisdom. And so in this right now moment, I want you to be still and know that I am, God. Breathe and release. Just breathe again, remembering there's power in the breath family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we call forth the energy and the presence of all that is love right now, sending loving energy into every cell and every muscle fiber and every muscle in our being, sending love before us to manage and structure our day. We give thanks for love, for love, for love, for love, as we call forth the energy of forgiveness. Because there's no love without forgiveness, and there's no forgiveness without love. And as we honor the presence of love, we move into the energy of forgiveness.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Today, I forgive myself. What a powerful place to be. To release all guilt, shame, or thoughts or process that keeps us from shining our light upon the planet. Father, Mother, God of this great universe, I'm asking you to revitalize all the energy source within us. Calling forth the energy of all the forces of the universe to come, that we may shine so bright today, God. That someone who comes in our presence will feel your energetic expression through us, in us, as us, all around us. Come, Holy Spirit, and let the energetic field of you be here, God. Let us touch somebody and let them be healed, God. Let our presence be a healing place, God. Let us walk in our God self that the people can feel the love of your holy presence in the way we walk, talk, and do what we do, God. Oh, I'm calling forth your presence in us right now, God. I'm speaking to that inner knowing, God, that presence of you, that is us, that is all in us today, God, that we may shine your love upon somebody today, God, that our presence may make manifest the glory of the consciousness of Christ, God, that even our silence will be healing, God, as we abide in peace today, God, as we walk in our holy presence, God, as the God self shall shine forth like no other today, God, as we become the knowing that we are the healing presence. I am the healing presence of Christ right now. You are the healing presence of the Christ right now. And so it is. so it is. And so it is. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Let him in.
Come on, people. Let him in.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, The Love Experience with Janina and Ingrid. That was Whining's Phase 2, baby. You know what that means? That means that's the children of the whiners that was in our generation. And this song called Let 'Em In, Saints. Let 'Em In, Saints. He said, what I'm talking about is not carnality, it's spirituality. Let him make love to your heart. I remember, y'all, I was on the floor killing the game, stepping right. And I didn't even know that this was a that they were talking about God. Oh, man. And ever since I fell in love with that song, Let Him In, Saints, let him in. Let him in your heart. And when you let him in, he'll make love to your heart. That's Whining's Phase 2 right here on The Love Journey with Janine and Ingrid. Yes, let's read from the Science of the Mind. Wow, I tell you, I was on Reverend Judah's prayer line this morning, and I'm still filled with the presence of the beautiful prayer. Reverend Judah, her prayer was really, all the prayers were beautiful, but it was something about Reverend Judah's, her prayer that was coming through, just woof. It made love to my heart this morning. All right. Today is October 3rd, 2018, on a Wednesday. And it says, as the first star shines, Master Eckhart once said, the eye through which I see God is the same eye through which God sees me. My eye and God's eye are one eye, one seeing, one knowing, and one love. Ooh, I love that. I got to read that again, y'all. This is a quote from Master Eckhart. I'm going to have to get some of his writings. I've been reading the Science of the Mind, and I don't know if I've ever heard of Master Eckhart, but I love this. The eye through which I see God is the same eye through which God sees me. My eye and God's eye are one eye, one seeing, one knowing, one love, family. A basic harmony must exist at the center of everything, or the universe itself will be a chaos. You already know this and believe it. Now you're going to act upon it. You're not only going to believe in it, you're going to act though it was true, because it is true. You see, there's peace at the center of your being, a peace that can be felt through the day and in the cool of the evening. And when you have turned from your labor and the first star shines in the soft light of the sky, it broods over the earth quietly, tenderly, as a mother watches over her child. So I want you to say this with me. In this peace that holds me so gently, I find strength and protection from all fear or anxiety. In this peace that holds me so gently, I find strength and protection from all fear or anxiety. It is the peace of God in which I feel the love, the Holy Presence. I am so conscious of this love, this protection, that every sense of fear slips away from me as mist fades in the morning light. I see good in everything. God personified in all people. Life manifests in every event. Spirit is not separate from persons or events. I see that it unites everything with itself, vitalizing all with the energy of its own being, creating everything through its own divine imagination. Surround everything with peace and quiet and calm. I am one with this deep, abiding peace, and I know that all is well. Wow. I am one with this deep, abiding peace, and I know that all is well. I see God personified in all people, knowing that life will manifest in every event. Spirit is not separate from anything, any person, or any event. I see that it unites everything with itself, vitalizing all with the energy of its own being, creating everything through its own divine imagination, surrounding everything with peace, quiet, and calm. I am one with this deep, abiding peace. Peace, be still. This comes from a book called Thoughts Are Things. And this book was written in 1967. It's on page 49. And so the affirmation for today is, I enter this day with joy, and I look to tomorrow with courage and confidence. Enter this day with joy, and look to tomorrow with courage and confidence. Last time, I enter this day with joy, and I look to tomorrow with courage and confidence. Wow. A deep, abiding peace. Our God is so amazing. So amazing. It's just one of the most amazing times to be alive on the planet. You know, I keep reminding you that even through what we're seeing in the media with Judge Kavanaugh, I think this is an amazing time for women to be heard and voices to be heard and women. And Anita Hill is being honored, family. Can you imagine 27 years later? They say, I believe you. And they're not taking these things lightly anymore, of women being assaulted. So I'm just grateful that we're disintegrating the rape culture into the light of love. And the woman's voice is no longer being silenced. We're not keeping quiet, because only thing that can be healed is what's being revealed. So I'm going to give thanks right now for that. All right, family, I just want to do a couple of reminders. Don't forget October 13th in the Baltimore area. You better get your tickets today. Don't delay. Come one, come all, Healing and Fun, Festival of Healing, workshops to enhance your life. They're going to have meditation, kinetic yoga, visioning, healing, masterminding, meditation, prayer treatments, trauma tapping, African healing body work, restorative yoga, power run, Reiki, and more, marketplace. Don't forget to get your tickets. That's going to be Saturday, October 13th. You can go right to Eventbrite and look up the Festival of Healing event. It's going to be Saturday, October 13th, from 9 a.m. to 5:30. The Festival of Healing is Living in Consciousness Manifestation. It's going to be sharing of the community of healers, spiritual practitioners, prayer warriors. It's going to be an amazing event that you don't want to miss. This event is put together by Reverend Judah, Nadja J. Brown, Roosevelt Boone, and the tickets are $25. And for the youth, they're $10. And if you can't make it, make your donation today. Don't forget, go to eventbrite.com. The location is 3601 Coronado Road, One God, One Thought Center in Baltimore, Maryland. You don't want to miss this event. Don't delay. Get your tickets today. Super excited, family. I won't be there physically, but I'll definitely be there in the spirit to support my sisters and my brothers and their healing practitioners, sharing their gifts. And remember, when one heals, the planet heals. There's going to be something dynamic, transformative, provocative, and riveting that's going to be happening on October 13th from 9 to 5:30. And so I just want us to be in consciousness with our brothers and sisters as they bring this healing modalities to the Baltimore area to bring healing to our planet. Again, it's the Festival of Healing, Living in Consciousness Manifestation. It's on Eventbrite. It's on my page. It's on the Love Journey page. It's on Judith Hoffman's page. You can go right there and find it on the Facebook page. Get your tickets. Don't delay. Also want to remind you, if you're in the Chicagoland area, when you get off work, come by Truth Restaurant on Thursday, October 4th, and celebrate our new show. Yes, we're going to be at Truth Restaurant from 6 to 10. celebrating the reveal of our new radio show that's going to come on October 5th on Herb Kent's birthday, family. Yes, October 5th from 9 to 11. Right after the Tom Joyner Morning Show, there will be us right there having a provocative conversations, remembering Herb Kent, honoring the gift of his presence that was a part of the radio personality for 70 years, inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. And I got the opportunity to sit at his feet. So we're going to have some great stories to share about Herb Kent, sports, and other things. Come and tune in at 95.1 FM station. That's 95.1 FM station, Club Stephen. It's for the grown and sexy. Yes, it is. All right, family. So, you know, I always want to share good stuff, right? And I was, I was supposed to be sitting around the house getting ready, and they asked me to come down and teach the judges for the election. So I ended up listening to this on the way down to, and it was so good. And I said, oh, I got to share this. You might want to make sure you got your notes, because this is Think and Grow Rich, but it's just a synopsis, but it's just some things that he's going to say about how to vibrate higher. And the first thing they talk about is desire. And I always want to bring good information and stuff to us so that we can talk about it, think about it, and share it in our world and also implement it. So this is what we're going to be listening to right now. It's just only about 20 minutes, but it's so good. And I want you to hear it, family. I'm telling you. I just love technology today. It's amazing. This is how to think.
This is Earl Nightingale. The purpose of this recording is to tell you about and try to condense one of the most amazing books ever written, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Without question, this single book has had a greater influence on the lives, accomplishments, and fortunes of more individuals than any other work of its kind. All over the free world, there are literally thousands of successful men in all lines of work who are where they are today because they once picked up and bought a copy of Think and Grow Rich, and they'll be quick to tell you so. I first discovered this remarkable book in the fall of 1949. It was of enormous help to me. It helped me decide once and for all how I was to accomplish my goal. It unified my thinking and gave me a straight, clear road to the point I had decided to reach. One of my closest friends found the book several years ago and stayed home for 3 days reading and digesting its material, and he then went on to reach the top in his industry. I've sat in richly paneled, carpeted executive offices and listened to world-famous business leaders, some of them old enough to be my father, tell me that everything worked out fine after they had read Think and Grow Rich. Now, what's the secret of this amazing book? Why has this book, out of all the thousands of self-help books, remained the one towering giant? I think to understand this, you have to know Napoleon Hill as I do. He certainly was not the first man to be appalled at the poverty and seemingly endless struggle and lack of direction he saw about him as a boy and as a young man, nor was he the first to write on the subject. But he possessed two unique, highly developed abilities seldom found in one man. The first was in the manner in which he approached his subject. Napoleon Hill went after the answers to achievement in the same way a scientist seeks to open to the light of reason a secret of nature. He went after the solution to accomplishment in the same way Thomas Edison discovered the solution to the electric light, relentlessly, indefatigably, implacably, until the truth, which had been there all the time, was revealed to him. His second important ability was the knack or skill of writing about his findings in such a way that it was instantly understood intellectually. But what is perhaps even more important for this particular subject, understood emotionally as well. When the last page of Think and Grow Rich was read, the hand which put the book down on the table was a different hand. The man who then stood and walked out into the world was a different, a changed man. The suffocating and tangling webs of self-imposed frustration and indirection had fallen away, and now the way was clear. The man was now the possessor of the unique, unseen talent for turning dreams into reality, thoughts into things. So-called fate or the idle effects of exterior circumstances were no longer in command. He who had been a passenger was now, suddenly, the captain. To begin, we have to understand the simple truth, the principle or philosophy which lies as the supporting structure of this work. Unless whatever it is you build is based on truth, you will end with the entire structure fallen and scattered about you like the armor of Homer's ancient warriors. It simply cannot stand. It cannot withstand the test of time. The reason Think and Grow Rich has withstood the test of time is because it rests on the broad, clean foundation upon which may also be found every accomplishment of man. The clear, unchallengeable fact that everything begins with an idea. A philosophy based on the fact that riches of every kind begin with the state of mind, that one may start with nothing but thoughts, ideas, and organized plans. Thoughts are things, incredibly powerful things, when mixed with definiteness of purpose, persistence, and a burning desire for their translation into material objects or riches, riches being whatever it is you happen to want. Wise men have been saying this for centuries, and just recently Charles A. Cerami wrote, "The truth is that the human mind is as real an organism as any muscle in the body, but far greater in potential power. And like muscle fiber, it can be strengthened to lead on to unimagined conquests." So this then is the truth on which Think and Grow Rich is based. If you know what you want, and if you want it strongly enough to muster the kind of persistence that simply cannot be stopped, you will most certainly achieve it. By controlling your mind, you can control your destiny here on Earth. With this as our foundation, let's talk about Napoleon Hill's famous 13 proven steps to riches, as found in his book, Think and Grow Rich. Remembering, of course, that riches are whatever it is you happen to want. And right here, let me make two important points. The first is that whenever you listen to this record, have a notebook handy and make notes as we go along. The second is that this record was produced for your own personal use, to go with you on your own exciting journey. To play this record for a group will prove to be of only temporary help. Make sure you have your own personal copy to play again and again, particularly at those times when you may feel yourself getting off the track. And now, Napoleon Hill's famous 13 principles. You will notice that we have separated each principle by banding them on the record. In this way, you're given quick access to any particular principle to which you may wish to return for reference. The first principle, desire. Here is the starting point for all achievement, the first step toward riches. But it's right here that we so often run into a stumbling block. A person will say, "I know what I desire, but can I get it?" We'll get into this business of doubt later, but once and for all, let's clear up this point. This point of whether or not you can accomplish that which you desire with all your heart. I think it was best expressed by Emerson, who wrote, "There is nothing capricious in nature, and the implanting of a desire indicates that its gratification is in the constitution of the creature that feels it." In other words, you would not have the desire unless you were capable of its achievement. Each of us has a built-in governor, and our desires are modified by our abilities and leanings. Whatever it is that you desire with all your heart, understand once and for all that it can and should be yours. In Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill cites example after example of why your burning desire is nothing more than an accurate picture of what you will one day become. So right here, firmly establish in your mind that which you desire more than anything else. For, as Helvetius put it, by annihilating the desires, you annihilate the mind. Every man without passions has within him no principle of action nor motive to act. A good way to determine whether or not you really have a burning desire is to examine the way you go after it. If you go after that which you think you desire tentatively, timidly, in an attempt to play it safe, you don't have a burning desire at all. You can't get to second base if you keep one foot on first. But if you're willing to burn your bridges behind you and say once and for all, "This is it, this is what I will do, and I will never retreat, I'll never go back," then you have the sort of desire that can only end in success. It takes that kind of resolve to be able to keep picking yourself up after the falls you're bound to take. The only people who don't make mistakes are those who never try anything, the timid feeders in the lagoon who never venture into the broad, deep sea beyond. While these principles will work for anything you may want, a more harmonious home life, a more successful career, for our example, let's say your desire happens to be more money, to better care for your family and provide for your future years to get your share of the prosperity that lies ahead. Napoleon Hill gives us 6 definite, practical steps to follow. 1. Fix in your mind the exact amount of money you desire. It is not sufficient merely to say, I want plenty of money. Be definite as to the amount. There's a psychological reason for definiteness, which will be described in a subsequent principle. 2. Determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the money you desire. There's no such reality as something for nothing. 3. Establish a definite date when you intend to possess the money you desire. And 4. Create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin at once, whether you're ready or not, to put this plan into action. 5. Write out a clear, concise statement of the amount of money you intend to acquire, name the time limit for its acquisition, state what you intend to give in return for the money, and describe clearly the plan through which you intend to accumulate it. 6. Read your written statement aloud twice daily, once just before retiring at night, and once after arising in the morning. As you read, see and feel and believe yourself already in possession of the money, or whatever your goal happens to be. It's important that you follow these instructions to the letter. Play this part of the record over until you have it down to your satisfaction, for this is by far the most important of the 13 principles, and this chapter of the book ends with these words. Through some strange and powerful principle of mental chemistry, which she has never divulged, nature wraps up in the impulse of strong desire that something which recognizes no such word as impossible and accepts no such reality as failure. The second principle is faith. You never would have even thought of your main desire unless faith were tugging at your mind. And if you find it difficult at times to have faith in yourself, you can be certain that you can have faith in these principles. Napoleon Hill writes, "Faith is a state of mind which may be induced or created by affirmation or repeated instructions to the subconscious mind through the principle of conscious autosuggestion." Conscious autosuggestion simply means a suggestion by yourself to yourself, just as an autobiography is a biography written by the person it's about. By getting a mental image of yourself already having accomplished your main desire over and over again, you will muster the faith you need. Faith is vital to accomplishment. The Emperor Napoleon once said, "All the scholastic scaffolding falls as a ruined edifice before one single word, faith." Pascal said, "Faith affirms many things respecting which the senses are silent, but nothing which they deny. It is superior to their testimony, but never opposed to it." Goethe said, "Epochs of faith are epochs of fruitfulness, but epochs of unbelief, however glittering, are barren of all permanent good." And as Schlegel put it, "In actual life, every great enterprise begins with and takes its first forward step in faith." Have faith that you can accomplish that which you seek, for you would never have decided upon it unless it was meant for you to accomplish. In his chapter on faith, Napoleon Hill gives us a self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life, therefore I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominant thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of autosuggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. In rereading Think and Grow Rich so that I could write this condensation for recording, I was forcibly struck all over again by this great chapter on faith, particularly the examples of how some of the world's greatest men have accomplished what appeared to be impossible through faith. The third principle is auto-suggestion. Now, we've already touched on this. This chapter of the book tells us how, through repeated suggestion, the subconscious mind can be put to work for us. It is the faculty of being able to concentrate your mind on your burning desire until your subconscious mind accepts it as fact and begins to devise ways of bringing it about. Here is where hunches come from, sudden flashes of thought or inspiration, guidance. The instructions given in connection with the six steps in the second chapter will now be summarized and blended with the principles covered by Napoleon Hill's chapter on auto-suggestion. First, go into some quiet spot, perhaps in bed at night. Close your eyes and repeat aloud, so you may hear your own words, the written statement of the amount of money you intend to accumulate, or a careful reaffirmation of whatever your goal happens to be. The time limit for its accumulation, and a description of the service or merchandise you intend to give in return for the money. As you carry out these instructions, see yourself already in possession of your goal. For example, suppose that you intend to accumulate $50,000 by the 1st of January, 5 years from now, that you intend to give personal services in return for the money in the capacity of a salesman. Your written statement of your purpose should be similar to the following. By the first day of January, 19, whatever it happens to be, I will have in my possession $50,000, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In return for this money, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of salesman of, and here describe the product or service you intend to sell or whatever it is you do for a living. It goes on. I believe that I will have this money in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this money before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render in return for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this money, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Second, repeat this program night and morning until you can see in your imagination the money you intend to accumulate. Third, place a written copy of your statement where you can see it night and morning and read it just before retiring and upon arising until it's been memorized. As you carry out these instructions, you are applying the principle of auto-suggestion. The fourth principle is specialized knowledge. It is here that I think Napoleon Hill makes a very important point. Knowledge is power only to the extent that it is organized into a definite plan of action and directed to a definite end. To quote from the book, "Before you can be sure of your ability to transmute desire into its monetary equivalent, you will require specialized knowledge of the service, merchandise, or profession which you intend to offer in return for fortune. Perhaps you may need much more specialized knowledge than you have the ability or the inclination to acquire. And if this should be true, you may bridge your weakness through the aid of your mastermind group. More on this later, but for now realize that you must learn all you can about your specialty. Set aside a definite time every day for learning more about what it is you do for a living. Take the courses that are offered on your subject and associate with men who know your business well." The fifth principle is imagination. The imagination is literally the workshop wherein are fashioned all plans created by man. The impulse, the desire, is given shape, form, and action through the aid of the imaginative faculty of the mind. It has been said that man can create anything he can imagine. As Napoleon Hill says and teaches, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. Man's only limitation within reason lies in his development and use of his imagination and subsequent motivation to action. The great leaders of business, industry, finance, and the great artists, musicians, poets, and writers became great because they developed the power of self-motivation. Incidentally, one of the best books ever put together on this subject, if not the greatest, is Success Through Positive Mental Attitude by Napoleon Hill and W. Clement Stone, I suggest you get a copy from your bookstore at your earliest convenience. If your bookstore happens to be out of the book, you may obtain a copy by writing to the address on the label of this record. As you go about your daily work, think constantly of ways in which it could be done better, more efficiently. Think of the changes that are inevitable. Can they be made now? And if you feel limited, remember the words of the late Frank Lloyd Wright. He said, "The human race built most nobly when limitations were greatest, and therefore when most was required of imagination in order to build it all." Limitations seem to have always been the best friends of architecture. As you build your future from this point onward, don't concern yourself with limitations, but remember that they may be your best friends, since they require imagination if we're to rise above them. And as Beecher said, the soul without imagination is what an observatory would be without a telescope. Now, if you'll turn this record over, we'll get to the sixth principle. The sixth principle is organized planning. You have decided on your desire, your goal. Now let's organize the plan for its accomplishment right on schedule. Let me quote again from Think and Grow Rich. "You have learned that everything man creates or acquires begins in the form of desire. The desire is taken on the first lap of its journey from the abstract to the concrete in the workshop of the imagination where plans for its transition are created and organized. Earlier, you were instructed to take six definite practical steps as your first move in translating the desire for whatever you want into its physical equivalent. One of these steps is the formation of a definite practical plan or plans through which this transformation may be made. 1. Ally yourself with one or more persons, a group of as many people as you may need for the creation and carrying out of your plan or plans for the accumulation of the money you've established as your goal. Making use of the mastermind principle. This is important. 2. Before forming your mastermind alliance, decide what advantages and benefits you may offer the individual members of your group in return for their cooperation. No one will work indefinitely without some form of compensation, although this may not always be in the form of money. 3. Arrange to meet with the members of your mastermind group at least twice a week, and more often if possible, until you have jointly perfected the necessary plan or plans for the accomplishment of your goal. 4. Maintain perfect harmony between yourself and every member of your mastermind group. Keep in mind these facts. First, you're engaged in an undertaking of major importance to you. To be sure of success, you must have plans which are faultless. Second, you must have the advantage of the experience, education, native ability, and imagination of other minds. This is in harmony with the methods followed by every person who has risen above the average. Work at this until you have a well-executed, formal plan for reaching your objective. In this way, you're never confused or wondering what you should do next. Every morning, you know exactly what you're going to do and why. It is in this chapter of Think and Grow Rich that Napoleon Hill gives us his 11 qualities of leadership. 1. Unwavering courage. 2. Self-control. 3. A keen sense of justice. 4. Definiteness of decision. 5. Definiteness of plans. 6. The habit of doing more than paid for. 7. A pleasing personality. 8. Sympathy and understanding. 9. Mastery of detail. 10. Willingness to assume full responsibility. And 11. Cooperation. The chapter on organized planning is one of the largest and most important in the book. It goes without saying that a man without a plan to follow is like a ship without a course. No place to go, with disaster a probability. The seventh principle, decision. The mastery of procrastination. To quote, "Accurate analysis of over 25,000 men and women who had experienced failure disclosed the fact that lack of decision was near the head of the list of the 30 major causes of failure. This is no mere statement of a theory, it is a fact. Procrastination, the opposite of decision, is a common enemy which every man must conquer. Analysis of several hundred people who had accumulated fortunes well beyond the $1 million mark disclosed the fact that every one of them had the habit of reaching decisions promptly and of changing these decisions slowly if and when they were changed. People who fail to accumulate money, without exception, have the habit of reaching decisions, if at all, very slowly and of changing these decisions quickly and often. A definite objective makes reaching prompt decisions that much easier. Napoleon Hill gives many examples, one of which is the case of Henry Ford. One of Henry Ford's most outstanding qualities was his habit of reaching decisions quickly and definitely and changing them slowly. This quality was so pronounced in the late Mr. Ford that it earned for him the reputation of being obstinate. It was this quality which prompted Mr. Ford to continue to manufacture his famous Model T, the world's ugliest but for the time most practical car, when all of his advisors and many of the purchasers of the car were urging him to change it. Perhaps he delayed too long in making the change, but the other side of the story is that his firmness of decision yielded a huge fortune before the change in model became necessary, and the company is certainly none the worse for it today. When you make up your mind, stay with it. The majority of people who fail to make the grade are generally easily influenced by the opinions of others, easily swayed. They permit the newspapers and the gossiping neighbors to do their thinking for them. Opinions are the cheapest commodities on earth. Keep your own counsel when you begin to put into practice the principles we're describing here. By reaching your own decisions and following them, take no one into your confidence except the members of your mastermind group, and be very careful in your selection of this group, that you choose only those who will be in complete sympathy and harmony with your purpose. Close friends and relatives, while not meaning to do so, often handicap one through opinions and sometimes through ridicule. Thousands of men and women carry inferiority complexes with them all through life because some well-meaning but ignorant person destroyed their confidence through opinions or ridicule. If a decision is worth anything at all, it's worth sticking to until it's been completely worked. The eighth principle, persistence. Napoleon Hill defines persistence as the power of will. Willpower and desire, when properly combined, make an irresistible pair. Persistence to an individual is what carbon is to steel. In uncounted thousands of cases, persistence has stood as the difference between success and failure. It is this quality more than any other that keeps the majority from great accomplishment. They'll try a thing, but as soon as the going gets tough, they fold. Experience with thousands of people has proved that lack of persistence is a weakness common to the majority of men. It is a weakness which may be overcome by effort. If you are to accomplish the desire you've set for yourself, you must form the habit of persistence. Things will get dark. It will seem as though there's no longer any reason to continue. Everything in you will tell you to give up, to quit trying. And it's right here that the men are separated from the boys. It's right here that if you'll go that extra mile and keep going, that the skies will clear, and you'll begin to see the first signs of the abundance that is to be yours because you had the courage to persist. With persistence will come success. Persistence is a state of mind. Therefore, it can be cultivated. Like all states of mind, persistence is based upon definite causes, among them these. 1. Definiteness of purpose, knowing what you want. 2. Desire. 3. Self-reliance. 4. Definiteness of plans. 5. Accurate knowledge, knowing that your plan is sound. 6. Cooperation. Sympathy, understanding, and harmonious cooperation with others tend to develop persistence. 7. Willpower. 8. Habit. Persistence is the direct result of habit. The ninth principle, power of the mastermind. It is in this section that Napoleon Hill describes the importance of forming a group of individuals sympathetic to your desire. They may be individuals with similar plans. A mastermind group can be made up of two or more individuals. No two minds ever come together without thereby creating a third invisible, intangible force, which may be likened to a third mind. You may have noticed many times that by discussing something with another individual, you suddenly get good ideas as a result of this association. Ideas you would not have gotten without this association. The same thing happens to the other person. A lot of good ideas have been born in individual minds as a result of having met in committee. Associating with your mastermind group is not meant as a means of letting others do your thinking for you. Far from it. It is to stimulate your own thinking through the association with other minds. No one knows everything. The more sympathetic minds you get together, and by sympathetic I mean working for a common purpose, the more related information is going to be available, and great ideas are a combination of related information. So pick the member or members of your mastermind group with care. Make sure they're people you respect and who are hardworking and conscientious. You'll have a lot of fun, and you'll all reach your goals just that much sooner. The tenth principle could be called enthusiasm. That is, the enthusiasm that comes from the channeling of all bodily drives into positive, worthwhile outlets. It is in this chapter that Napoleon Hill describes the importance of the woman, the one and only woman, in the achievement of a worthwhile goal. It seemed quite significant to Mr. Hill that practically every great leader was a man whose achievements were largely inspired by a woman. When things get tough, and you can count on it they will, you may be deserted by what you thought were friends. But if you've got a good woman, you'll never be alone. She'll be willing to start over again if necessary, and she'll give you the new enthusiasm that comes through her faith in you. Having someone to love is having someone to share your success and accomplishments, to give you the praise that all of us need from time to time. A man can become successful without a wife and family, but all the real joy is taken out of it. Take care of your wife and children as your greatest possessions. The 11th principle has to do with the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind consists of a field of consciousness in which every impulse of thought that reaches the objective mind through any of the five senses is classified and recorded, and from which thoughts may be recalled or withdrawn as letters may be taken from a filing cabinet. It receives and files sense impressions or thoughts, regardless of their nature. You may voluntarily plant in your subconscious mind any plan, thought, or purpose which you desire to translate into its physical or monetary equivalent. The subconscious acts first on the dominating desires which have been mixed with emotional feeling, such as faith. Your subconscious mind works night and day. Through a method of procedure unknown to man, the subconscious mind draws upon the forces of infinite intelligence for the power with which it voluntarily transmutes one's desires into their physical equivalent, making use, always, of the most practical media by which this end may be accomplished. You cannot entirely control your subconscious mind, but you can voluntarily hand over to it any plan, desire, or purpose which you wish transformed into concrete form. No one knows very much about what we call the subconscious or unconscious mind. We do know that it is incalculably powerful and can solve our problems if we go about using it the right way. And the best way is to hold in your conscious mind as often as possible a clear picture of yourself already having accomplished your goal. You know what you want, define it clearly, and then project it on the motion picture screen of your mind. Hold it. See yourself doing the things and having the things you'll have when your objective will have been reached. Do this as often as possible as you go about your daily work, and particularly at night, just before you go to sleep, and the first thing upon arising. As you do this, your subconscious will begin to lead you in the most logical ways toward your objective. Don't fight it. Follow your sudden hunches, the ideas that come into your mind, knowing that it's your subconscious trying to get through to your conscious mind. If you'll keep at this, you'll be amazed and delighted by the wonderful ideas that just seem to come from nowhere. In the next principle, we'll talk some more about this sixth sense that seems to control the lives of the great men and women. But it comes from a systematic triggering of the subconscious mind. The lives of the great men and women, which seem miraculous to the average person, are nothing more than the fulfillment of their burning desires through the power of their subconscious minds. Time means nothing to your subconscious. A man could work steadily at his job for 40 years and not accomplish as much as is possible in 3 or 4 years through the proper working of this principle. Your subconscious mind cannot remain idle. If you fail to plant desires in your subconscious mind, it will feed upon the thoughts which reach it as a result of your neglect. Remember that you're living daily in the midst of all manner of thought impulses which are reaching your subconscious mind without your knowledge. Some of these impulses are negative, some are positive. You are now engaged in trying to help shut off the flow of negative impulses and to aid in voluntarily influencing your subconscious mind through positive impulses of desire. When you achieve this, you will possess the key which unlocks the door to your subconscious mind. Bulwer wrote, "The man who succeeds above his fellows is the one who, early in life, clearly discerns his object and toward that object habitually directs his powers. Even genius itself is but fine observation strengthened by fixity of purpose. Every man who observes vigilantly and resolves steadfastly grows unconsciously into genius." The key word there is unconsciously. Know what you want. Decide once and for all that it will be yours. Remain steadfast on course, propelled by faith, and your subconscious or unconscious mind will do the rest. The 12th principle, as outlined in Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, has to do with the brain. If you had access to all the wealth in the world and took a penny, you would be doing exactly what you very probably have been doing in the use of your brain. Nothing in the world is more pitiful than the misunderstanding by the average person of the power of his brain and the minds to which it is connected, the conscious and the subconscious. You own in your brain the most marvelous, miraculous, inconceivably powerful force the world has ever known. Take, for example, the fact that the number of lines which connect the brain cells with one another equal the figure 1, followed by 15 million ciphers. It has been determined that there are from 10 to 14 billion cells in the average human cerebral cortex. It is inconceivable that such a network of intricate machinery should be in existence for the sole purpose of carrying on the physical functions incidental to growth and maintenance of the physical body. This is the mechanism that has given us the supersonic airplane, our deep rocket probes into outer space, the sciences, the arts, all that we know and use today and will use tomorrow, have hatched from this small gray mass each of us carries around. Can you doubt, even for a moment, that it can bring you and yours everything you want here on Earth? Of course it can. If you will recognize your power as an individual and stop acting like those who have never even thought about it. Give it the job you've decided to accomplish and watch it handle it. The 13th and final principle is called the sixth sense. The sixth sense can be described as the sense through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. This principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles. The sixth sense is that portion of the subconscious mind which has been referred to as the creative imagination. It has also been referred to as the receiving set, through which ideas, plans, and thoughts flash into the mind. The flashes are sometimes called hunches or inspirations. The sixth sense defies description. It cannot be described to a person who has not mastered the other principles of this philosophy, because such a person has no knowledge and no experience with which the sixth sense may be compared. The sixth sense is not something that one can take off and put on at will. Ability to use this great power comes slowly through application of the other principles we've outlined. Many individuals come into a workable knowledge of the sixth sense even before the age of 40. But more often the knowledge is not available until one is well past 50, and this for the reason that the spiritual forces with which the sixth sense is so closely related do not mature and become usable generally except through years of meditation, self-examination, and serious thought. But begin to develop it now by applying the principles we've talked about here. Remember this: man can create nothing which he does not first conceive in the form of an impulse of thought. Man's thought impulses begin immediately to translate themselves into their physical equivalent, whether those thoughts are voluntary or involuntary. Keep fear out of your mind by concentrating on the mental picture of your goal, your greatest desire. Now, I want to mention that Think and Grow Rich as a book carries more endorsements by great men who knew of its truth than any other book of its kind ever written. I'll touch on only a few. All of these great men actually endorsed Napoleon Hill's principles. Former President of the United States William Howard Taft, F.W. Woolworth wrote that he had built his great chain of stores by applying many of these principles. Robert Dollar, who built the great Dollar Steamship Line, wrote, "If I had had this philosophy 50 years ago, I suppose I could have accomplished all that I've done in less than half the time. I sincerely hope the world will discover and reward you." Samuel Gompers wrote that the mastery of these principles is the equivalent of an insurance policy against failure. President Woodrow Wilson, John Wanamaker, the merchant prince, wrote, "I know that your fundamentals are sound because I've been applying them in my business for more than 30 years. George Eastman, the world's largest maker of cameras, Thomas Edison, Luther Burbank, Theodore Roosevelt, E.M. Statler, John D. Rockefeller. I think you know that the endorsements of these great men could not have been bought with all the money in the world. What we have been talking about here can change your life, can bring you anything and everything worthwhile you want in life for yourself and your family. Cut yourself away from the average, from the mediocre, and chart your course on the dream in your heart. These 13 principles will never let you down, as long as you use them. And now, it is with great pleasure that I give you the author himself, Napoleon Hill.
Thank you, Earl Nightingale. The message which you, who are listening, have just heard has brought you within three short steps of the supreme secret of success. The same secret which has brought happiness, peace of mind, and financial success to countless thousands of people who have read Think and Grow Rich. The same secret which has made master salesmen out of ordinary order takers. And the same secret which has brought friendship, love, and marriage to men and women who have come under the spell of the 13 principles which Earl Nightingale has just described. If you desire the better things of life, or you wouldn't be listening to this record. Come with me then, and I will help you chart your course so you may acquire whatever it is that you desire most in life by following these instructions. 1. Condition your own subconscious mind to work for you while you sleep as well as when you are awake. You can do this by playing this record to yourself every night just before you retire. Then, before you go to sleep, after hearing the record, write out a clear statement of what you wish to accomplish the following day and request your subconscious mind to work during the night and provide you with the plan you will need to achieve your purpose. 2. Form a personal mastermind group of two or more people who are closely associated with you. They can be members of your family, your business, or your professional associates, or people who work where you are employed. And play this record in their presence at least once a week. After you have done this, engage in a friendly roundtable discussion of the 13 success principles and request each person in the group to participate and to look for inspirational ideas which may help him or her to become more successful. 3. Beginning now, follow the habit of rendering more service and better service than that which is expected of you, and do it in a pleasing, positive mental attitude. This will make friends for you, it will increase the value of your services, and it will attract opportunities by which you may get from life whatever it is that you most desire. Follow these instructions to the letter, and you will surely see the day when you can express a prayer of gratitude for having had the privilege of hearing and acting on the message which Earl Nightingale has given you through this record. And now, may I reach out across the space and the time which separate us and offer you a hand of friendship and a sincere prayer that you will be blessed with a richer and a fuller life because of this message. Your big opportunity may be right where you are now. Follow these instructions faithfully, and it will reveal itself to you. This is Napoleon Hill saying, don't search for opportunity in the distance, but recognize it and embrace it right where you are.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to another episode. That was Napoleon Hill and Earl Nightingale speaking. And, you know, I would say they're, like, wow, top in the industry of success and personal development. And Think and Grow Rich was one of the first books I read. I read this book when I was 12 years old. And then I read it again and again and again. And it's been one of the most powerful books to help me succeed in life. And I thought, wow, this is some great information for us to think about. When we think about how powerful it is to speak to our subconscious mind, and the two most powerful times in the day to really impress upon the subconscious mind is the time right before we go to sleep and when we first wake up. And that's when we are least resistant to new information, to information that can help us change, transform, and become more of what it is that we desire to be on the planet. And so I just wanted to reiterate, because I know you already know this stuff. It's not a matter of not knowing. It's a matter of practicing what it is we do know, implementing. So I want us to think about writing down and using the script that Napoleon Hill talked about, Earl Nightingale, and I will repost it on Facebook so you can rewrite it and have it written for your self-confidence, to build your self-confidence, to speak it each day, to come up with an amount of money you desire to bring into your experience. So I want you to visualize that amount of money, and I want you to use the words. I have used this formula that Think and Grow Rich has given us Napoleon Hill, and it has been so successful, when, especially when I wanted to create money for a big project or something. And I know that the end of the year is coming up, and I don't want us to wait till the new year, but I want our new year to start each and every day to create and be the person and the life we want to live. So these are some of the principles that Thinking and Grow Rich use, and I just want to reiterate them to us, and I want to re-implement them back into our process so that we can use these tools to really create the life we desire. Is there any questions, comments, and concerns? You can press 1 on Blog Talk, and if you're on the teleconference line, then just press *6. 1 on Blog Talk and *6 if you're on teleconference line. This is the principles from Think and Grow Rich. Think and Grow Rich. Booker T. Washington once said, success has footprints. And if we desire something different, we got to do something different. But I always think, to make it easier, why not use the people who have use their tools that they have given us, or even being in their presence to help us and support us in being what it is we want to be. So when we think about whatever area we want to, you want to be a great writer, a great speaker, a great entrepreneur, it's always powerful to go and be in the presence of those who are doing what you want to do. And so I'm not saying, you know, sometimes always we're looking for, like, if you want to be a dynamic speaker, you might want, you might say, oh, well, let me go follow Les Brown. But sometimes you have dynamic people doing dynamic things that's within your reach. That's, and I would say, go and have a meeting with them. Go have a sit-down conversation with them. What is it that we really want? How we really want to get there? And map out consciously from A to Z how we want to get there. So I was talking to my niece. She wants to, she's in high school, and she wants to run track and everything like that. So I was telling her I would support her in finding somebody to help support her in learning how to use her body, how to sprint, because there's a technique that your body has to do, right? But these are the kind of things you learn from people who ran or who's doing what you want to do. There's techniques and there's success clues. And so we get to get those from people who've been very, very successful. So I just want us to really think about what it is we want to do, who is in our atmosphere or 6 degrees of that separation that we can really, you know, horn in and really to ask them to help us get to that next level. And then you know, take it one step at a time. Once you get in that atmosphere, you'll probably create more people in your tribe that you can take it to the next level, and just step by step, life for sense. So I just want us to really create this opportunity by using the tools that we heard in Think and Grow Rich on this Vibrate Higher Day, by taking the tools. What is our desire? Impressing our subconscious mind. Affirming our greatness. And I just think there's something powerful about writing things down. What happens when you become accountable by writing these things down? And so the assignment for us for today in our journal, I want you to be in the present moment of how your life you want it to be, but as if it was in the present moment. So if you want a 2019 Porsche Cabriolet, and you want to give it all the colors, and you want to feel the presence of that car, the smell, what it felt like when, you know, when you get in your new car, and the peanut butter leather, and how it feels when it closes upon your legs, and the sunroof, and the music when you was driving, well, in Chicago I call it Lakeshore Drive, when we driving down Lakeshore Drive, and you could see the moonlight and the melodic sounds of the jazz, listening to 95.1 Janine. I'm just being silly, y'all. But I'm just saying, you want to feel what it is you want to bring into your experience, because what gets the blessing? It's the feelings that get the blessing. And in our heart, when we have, we can truly manifest those things in our heart. So let's get a true Make sure you put all your adjectives in there and write every area of your life, what you want it to look like. What's your house when you walk in your home? What would it look like? What would it feel like? What is the furniture? What is the colors that's on the wall? How does it feel when you walk into your home? Then you write that as if it was right now. And you'd be, I always say, put grateful statements in there. I'm grateful for the opportunity to walk in my beautiful four-bedroom, three-bathroom, master bedroom with blah, 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 you know. And talk about the landscape of the house. Or if you want to, and when you get into your personal fitness, what would your body look like? How does it feel to honor a beautiful fit body? And a fit body is personal to your fitness. I don't want us to get into the idea of what society says is fit, but what's fit for you? What would that look like? What would be the perfect fitness for you? And describe it. And how would it make you feel? Some women, I was talking to a lady the other day, she said she's never been in her whole life ever wore a bikini, because when she could wear a bikini, she was not so much into her body, and she was into shame. Because, you know, a lot of times we get shamed about our body as a woman. So then when she began to own her body, she hadn't taken care of her body to the point where she could wear a bikini. So if that's something you desire, then put your affirmation in your journal how your body looks. And thanking God for the opportunity to wear a bikini if that's your desire. What would your relationship and your marriage look like? What would your financial situation be? And just daydream. Nothing too big, nothing too small. Just big, dreaming about what it is that you want, as if it was already happening in your experience today. And that's such a fun assignment. I love when I do it. I put on my music and I light my candles, and I imagine my life being exactly what I want it to be, my marriage being exactly how I want it to be, my finances flowing in the way that I want it to be. So just give you an example. So the other day, and it all was kind of stemmed from a conversation that Deborah had on here when she was talking about learning to ask for her money. So I was sitting here putting together a contract, and I stopped because it's a consulting contract for a particular individual that wanted me to support him on realizing a particular dream. So I'm putting all my resources together to help him get this money that he needs for his farm that he's bought this land for out in Pembroke, Illinois, right? So I decided that this is the amount of money that I wanted for my consulting fee, right? And at first I kept saying, oh, maybe I should go down, oh, da, 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 da. And then I said, no, absolutely not. I kind of visualized what Deborah was saying when she was owning her idea of what she wanted to be paid. So I said, you know, it's nothing wrong with you getting paid this amount of money, because you're really putting in a lot of effort and you're putting in your contacts. So, you know, I put in the amount of money I wanted and I visualized myself getting it. And so when I called him to talk about my fees, do you know, he said, you know, you should get, it was the same amount that I had already said to myself that I wanted to get after the deal. He suggested that I get that after deal, because I had layered him with so many things and assistance with his down payment for his property. And so I'm just saying, visualization and imagination is one of the most powerful things we can use on the planet. Visualize yourself into that space. Write it down. Be conscious of what it is you want to create. Be conscious and be intentional, because the power is within you. And so that's what I want us to think about today. As we think about the tools from Think and Grow Rich, don't overwhelm yourself. Don't get into anxiety about where you should and should not be. Don't get into the process of age, not old enough or not too or too young, or whatever number. Just own what it is you want and let it flow into your life. Allow it. And get into your receiving energy. and know that the power is in you. And it only works if we work it. It's so powerful to work the tools. It's so magical. It's like watching a cartoon with some magic fairy program when we were little. Get back into your energy of your childhood and your innocence and just know that you can create a beautiful, amazing life that you deserve. You deserve it. All right, family, don't forget. That's my message. All right, don't forget this beautiful opportunity to be in this healing energy on October 13th from 9 to 5:30. Reverend Judith Hockma, Naja J. Brown, Reverend Roosevelt, they're putting together, or have put together, a very conscious process for us to come and be a part of. Of course, I won't be there physically, but I'll definitely be there in spirit October 13th at One God, One Thought. I want you to take your time and go and just be a part of the process. It's going to be chanting. There's going to be lots of meditation and all kinds of things. So don't forget to get your tickets. Don't delay. Get your tickets today. That's $25. You can go to Eventbrite Festival of Healing, Living in Consciousness Manifestation. That's going to be October 13th. That's a festival of healing, meditation, comedic yoga, exercises, visioning, healing, prayer treatment, trauma tapping, African healing, body work, and all other things and more. Going to also be a marketplace. Don't forget to get there. One conscious, one thought, one God. Right there, October 13th. Go to event. You can find it on my page, Janine Ingram, the Love Journey page, Judith Hockman's page. You can find it right there, or you can go straight to www.eventbrite.com, Festival of Healing, Living in the Consciousness, and get your tickets today. Now, if you're not in the area, guess what? You can make a donation, because the donation goes for women and men in recovery, men that is re-entering into the workforce, for the youth. Come on, you all. Let's support, support, support. Don't forget, don't forget. All right, tomorrow we're going to talk about the color of grief, grieving, family. This is a conversation that most people don't want to talk about, but we're going to talk about the healing power of grief. And we invited the Color of Grief community, Khadija Ali and Gregory Jones. They are the manager of the community, and they're going to come tell us and talk to us about the different shades of grieving. Yes, there's a process. But remember, that process can be unique to you. And we're going to talk about the power of getting therapy. So many people in our community have been afraid to get therapy. We're going to talk about the healing power of therapy, the healing power of community, the healing power of support. So many times people feel alone and isolated because no one knows how to support somebody when they're in there. And we're going to talk about that as well. In a time when people are leaving the planet, I just got a call early this morning. Young man, 47 years old, beautiful, chocolate, man, amazing smile, sexy, just beautiful locks, everything, and just left the planet. Had an aneurysm. Family devastated. Hadn't even made 50 years of age yet. We got to talk about it. It's time to have an open conversation about what it looks like to grieve, family. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow, Thursday, October 4th, right here on The Love Journey with Ms. Khadija Ali and Gregory Jones, family. Invite a friend. If you know somebody who may need this conversation, invite them. Let's heal. Let's talk about it. Let's open the part that we want to keep silent. Let's be vulnerable. Let's get naked emotionally together. And let's own what it is that we want to own in terms of our own grief. So that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow, the color of grief. And tomorrow evening, if you're in the Chicagoland area, come out to Truth Restaurant, 6 to 10, with Janine Ann Ingram and Peyton Wilborn and Ricky Hendon. We're going to be revealing our new radio show right after the Tom Joyner Morning Show every Friday, 9 to 11, 95.1 FM. I want you to come out and support us. If you're not in the Chicagoland area, you can't come out. Send me some love tomorrow. But if you're not in the Chicagoland area, you can download the app on Friday morning. That's Future Vision Entertainment. Or you can go to 95.1 Club Steppin' and you can listen in at 9 to 11 Eastern. It'll be 10 to 12. And here, our radio show. We're going to be talking about Herb Kent family, Herb Kent's birthday. He's a radio legend. He was inducted to the Radio Hall of Fame. He was in the industry for over 70 years. How can you be in the business for 70 years? Can you imagine doing what you love your whole entire life? From the time he was 18, from his first job, all the way down to the time he left the planet. He left the job on Saturday, went home and made his transition. He did what he loved. Radio legend Herb Kent Friday. We're going to be remembering him right here, not right here, on 95.1 FM station. Thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey family. Again, let me check. Any questions, comments? Nope. On Blog Talk. All right. I love you all. Have a great, amazing, phenomenal day. Know that I'll be thinking of you today, family.
for you.